Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9, and a Happy New Year. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And
first show.
First show of the new year.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So let's just jump right into it. We're still recovering from all the New Year's festivities, vacation, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
Inbox overload.
I had 1,000 in inbox.
Wow. I freak out anytime my inbox gets over like 30. Top story of the week.
Yeah.
C Sharp
named top programming language of 2012. So our friend Daryl Taft reporting here. Now this is by the PYPL, which is the Popularity of Programming Language Index, and C Sharp had the biggest growth in 2012, rising more than 2.3%, by far the biggest growth over Java, PHP, C++.
Which is kind of amazing, actually, given that a lot of what you hear out there nowadays is all about HTML and JavaScript, but C# coming back, that's great.
Yeah, or Objective-C. Really cool. And, you know, there's a lot of people also using Mono, too. So even for competitive platforms, Android, mm-hmm. iOS, people mm-hmm. are using, want to use C#.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised that it's the most used, but I am surprised that it had the biggest growth, given that the base is so large.
Yeah, well, a lot of this is also determined. It's always like, well, how is this determined, right?
Right.
So this is... by search engine results and seeing, you know, a number of statistics there, how many samples are using C#, and so on.
Yep.
So there's, you know, there's always going to be a question, but I thought it was an interesting article, no matter what.
Got it. Cool. Well, this next project is pretty cool. This is called Property Cross, and this is a project, you can see the list of guys over there at the right, but Colin Eberhardt is working on this. Basically, what he set out to do is to take all the different cross-platform mobile frameworks and build the same sample application in each one of them. And so really what you can do is you can really see the differences and the trade-offs from one to another, because there's so many different frameworks
Pet
out
store.
There. Pet store, yeah, it's exactly what we used to do with the pet store application. You can look at lines of code, you can look at the differences between the UI, you can look at maintainability, how many branches you have to maintain, performance, exactly.
Dependencies, which can be more difficult, exactly.
Exactly. So hats off to Colin and his team here. They really I've never seen something done like this in the mobile space, so it's really neat to see this project get going.
Well, especially if you're not familiar with what platform to choose, this at least gives you, hey, let's look at the different implementations and kind of see which one, you know, it works for us.
Exactly. So lots of good data there.
So Chris Sells talks about TypeScript templates and, you know, basically how he really enjoyed seeing some of the features in TypeScript. Now, TypeScript, we've definitely talked about it before, but for those who are unfamiliar with it, it's the ability to add things like object orientation to JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have things like classes, for example, I can have interfaces, but at the end of the day, it compiles down to JavaScript. So you
right.
get JavaScript's ubiquity, meaning it'll just run everywhere, but you have more maintainable code, more reusable code.
Best of both worlds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So Chris actually goes through how he built, how some of the templates that they've built for TypeScript.
Right.
So for example, even just changing things, for example, like Windows 8 templates use anonymous methods so that there wouldn't be interference, so because everything's global. Unless you're private, so by doing mm-hmm. anonymous, then you're technically not going to hit a namespace because it assigns a name by default. But you don't have to worry about that with TypeScript, right? Because you build a class, you know it's going to be unique to that class. So definitely interesting stuff for people that are looking to build TypeScript apps mm-hmm. using Windows 8.
That's great. Very cool. Next story comes from Jim O'Neill. He's a technical evangelist, and he really takes a nice pragmatic approach to helping you understand the differences between what's available in the Windows runtime on the desktop and what's available on the Windows Phone runtime for Windows Phone 8. And I like this. We've talked about portable class libraries in the past. We've talked about some of the differences, but he really goes through very pragmatically and shows you how do you understand when you're reading through the MSDN library document. For example, whether or not a particular API or namespace is going to be available in both areas. And so it's really kind of, you know, holding your hand as you go through this experience and start to answer some of those questions.
Absolutely. This is another story, and it's, you know, building a great Windows 8 app step six, which template should you use? And it is a multi-part series by Susan Eibach. And the point here is, man, the second you just click File New Project, you'll see a ton of templates, right? So what's the difference between a blank template, a grid template, the Navigator project that JavaScript has, which gives you some built-in things for page navigation, and even open source templates, right? So there's just a number of things, the RSS feed reader that comes as well as the HTML CSS game kit and so on. So there's just a ton of different examples, or even DirectX. So the 2D, 3D, what toolkit is right for you, like the Win metadata when you want to build something, a library, if you will, that can be reused across JavaScript, C#, C++.
Yeah, I often find that I will, when I start a Windows 8 project, I'll actually start it in
J sharp.
Start in J sharp. No, seriously, start it in more of a simplified template because I like to build up from that. But then what I'll do is I'll open up the more advanced, like the grid application template, to try and figure out how to add certain components back to my app.
So one of the keys that a lot of people do use is actually start with a blank and then add the page templates.
Yeah.
So that way, like, hey, I need a grid or the detail page, and I can just add that particular page, and that way you get all the niceties that you get in the basic page template as well.
So, exactly.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, this next story is really cool. I love these kind of cheat sheets and things you could print out and, you know, hang above your cubicle. And this basically shows you a cheat sheet showing all the different UI monikers, if you will, for Windows Phone. And so it shows you the differences between the colors that are available for Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8, the different resolutions that are available, the different font sizes. So just everything that you really want to have at your fingers as you're thinking about, you know, UIs and layouts for these different types of phone environments.
Yeah, I love this. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And the next one is a little bit self-promotional, but this came out last month. This is my virtual machine that I maintain and keep updated. We didn't have a show last month when this actually was published, so I wanted to make sure everyone saw that I updated my virtual machine that contains Visual Studio 2012, Team Foundation Server 2012, and a bunch of sample data and hands-on labs. And this is now using update 1 of Visual Studio and TFS, as well as some revised hands-on labs, revised demo scripts, new hands-on labs that show off some of the SharePoint ALM capabilities and that sort of thing. So you can go grab that and have a fully functional, self-contained, offline environment for kind of learning or demonstrating these capabilities.
Very cool. This is a detailed walkthrough by Nick Polyak on the task parallel libraries and using the async await functionality. And a lot of these are basic samples, but they talk about, and we have talked about a number of these different things around, for example, you know, I have a task that I want to, I'm adding a new customer. I need to look up validate his address. I need to go to a different system to make sure he's not a duplicate, and I need to add him to our shipping system. And there's another step in there, and you have to wait until, you know, you can imagine you want to wait until all these asynchronous processes finish, then you can use async wait all, which is I'm going to wait all these different processes and then go to the next step, or when any, for example. And basically when any would say is any time one of these is done, then hand it off to a next part. So it really helps you compose how your application is going to work. It talks about things like cancellation. So how do I do things like be able to cancel an async operation, or when I have parent-child relationships, like an async task that calls another async task, and how do I be able to find out exceptions when that happens, and be able to see inter-exception, and so on. So a lot of the more like beyond hello world examples of ways people are going to be able to do this, reporting progress, you know, there's an iProgress that, you know, you can tell it what data type you're going to return, like a string, and in progress, you know, one of 100. Say you're adding, you know, media files, and it's going to take a long progress. And you can actually, of course, control that and report into there. So if you're doing anything around async, this is really a good sample to see, and an article on that just shows the more kind of beyond the hello world.
All those workflow examples and scenarios just make my head hurt, just thinking of all the different permutations and all the different things that can go wrong in any part of a workflow. Like, yeah. Oh gosh, what if we fire him while we're processing the payroll? What do we do with that situation?
Yeah, it's even worse when you need to make it transactional, right? Because yeah. Then
roll back
it's
everything.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Then it gets very, you know, much more tricky.
Exactly. So another one for us here comes from our friend Ted Neward.
Yeah, so the idea here is using a collection library, which is an open source library with an MIT license called C5. And it basically includes a number of things from collection values, extensible collections, last in, first out stack, first out, first in, first out, queue, priority queue, dictionary, sorted dictionary. So collection types beyond the things that are included in the .NET framework, and even different types, so like a sorted array, a wrapped array, a tree set, a tree bag, which is a multi-set stack, like a circular queue, so once you hit the end, it automatically goes to the first one and kind of just continues to round robin. All these different collection types that go beyond what's available in the .NET framework, but are very useful for developers that they'd have to implement themselves. So this is actually, he's going to make this a multi-part series on going through the C5 collections.
And C5 stands for Cut, Clarity, no, it stands for Copenhagen.
No, I want to see if you know the four.
Cut, Clarity, Color, and Cust.
Yes.
Cust is the biggest one. No, Copenhagen Comprehensive Collection Classes for C#. That's quite the acronym.
Yes.
Which brings
Done
us
by
to
university.
Which brings us to our first picks of the week for 2013.
Picks of the week. Woohoo!
So my pick of the week is kind of a flashback. This is an oldie but goodie. This is just a Windows 3.1. I don't know if it's 3.11 or 3.1 simulator that works completely with HTML and JavaScript. So it's pretty cool. I was actually going through Minesweeper works. The command prompt is a little flaky, but everything else seems to work. I kind of like firing up old operating systems. There's a virtual machine share at Microsoft that you can download a bunch of old virtual machines. One of them has Windows for Workgroups 3.1.1 with Microsoft Bob installed. I actually I never used Bob back when it was out, so it was fun to go back, and it's my primary desktop
now. I had the
now.
Spanish version, Roberto. he talked, they had a nice accent to it. It was beautiful.
Nice, that's
yes.
Fantastic.
Imagine Puss in Boots
yeah?
talking to you.
I can't imagine why
Much
it didn't
better.
Succeed.
Yeah, it's sold dozens.
And your pick of the week, it's really cool.
Yeah, so this is an article by PC World, and you know, one of the cool things is it does is goes through a number of the different projects that have been released by Microsoft Research, and you know, there's projects that I think we've talked about on the show, like the Kinect glasses and augmented reality, where you actually have something on your wrist that's allowing you to use hand controls. Another ability is to be able to blend touch and touch screens, where you can make anything a touch screen using OmniTouch, or be able to highlight different things, or when you know exactly what you're doing. And the example being a holodeck, they've built something where they're doing eye tracking. And the challenge with a holodeck is if you are going to do something, the amount of resolution to get really high fidelity images on all those screens is a very difficult process, and to be able to update it in real time and so on. So by tracking where your eyes are and studying the way the human eye interacts, what it can do is say, wherever your eye is, that's where we're going to show really high resolution, and mm-hmm. then use an algorithm that, you know, the resolution gets less, so the processing power is required a lot less. So you should definitely check out this article just to see all the cool stuff, and I you know, there's probably another five very cool projects in there that I didn't even know about.
Yeah, I like how you characterize that as the challenge without a holodeck. That's pretty much the only one. Once you get past that, then it's all, you know.
There's a number. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They had like a robot that, you know, you could play catch with. And there's a bunch of cool apps in here. And certainly, you know, a number of them have Kinect or vision sensing, but all sorts of stuff.
So what is this exactly from Microsoft?
No, so this article is really about Microsoft Research.
Okay.
And the cool projects it has.
Different cool things that are coming
out
of Microsoft.
Yeah, so it's really a review of like, hey, try and read this article and not think these projects are cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a difficult process.
Very good. Well, hopefully some of these will start to become productized in the near future. One can hope. And we will see you next. Actually, I won't be here the next 2 weeks. I will be out getting married. But someone will be here bringing you the news as always. And I'll see you probably at the end of January.
Congrats again.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.